Automation is powering what's possible for businesses of every size in every industry. Unlock your potential at Automate, the largest showcase of robotics and automation in North America, May 22nd through the 25th in Detroit, Michigan. With over 600 exhibitors, 200 speakers, and more than 25,000 registrants, there's no better way to power your business. Register for free at automateshow.com. That's automateshow.com.
When you hire your local CertaPro painters, you get
the power of a cut above.
Decades of expertise to transform your home. From so-so to virtuoso.
The power of neighborhood painters.
We live where you live and probably like the same pizza place you do.
Put the power of pro
to work for you today. Get your project started at CertaPro.com.
Each CertaPro painter's business is independently owned and operated.
Here's something we hope you'll really like.
The Leaders.
Senator Ted Cruz.
Thank you, Chris. It's always great to be with you.
Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Hey, thanks for having us on. I appreciate it very much.
The Newsmakers.
Folks like Peter Schweitzer.
Hey, Chris, it's great to be on with you.
Ann Coulter.
Great to be here, Chris. Thank you.
He's colossal. Stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
Their first concern is not for the security and safety of the people of this country. Their first concern is protecting their left-wing behinds.
The Cell Signal Storm Podcast.
My friends, we're about ready to get underway on part three of our series, GovEd, Righting a Great Wrong with Parental School Choice. I think there's an examination on the political realm that is apropos to apply to the depravity and the degradation of GovEd, and the depravity and degradation GovEd is inspiring in the society and inspiring in our children. We're going to be speaking with some elected officials today on how they're going to solve this and restore power back to where it belongs, to the parents' hands and out of government's hands. But let me talk to you about what I mean by this, an examination of the price we are paying for the worst mistake this country ever made, which was allowing government to educate our children. Now, I've said this before several times on this podcast, several times on the Chris Salcedo Show, on radio, and on Newsmax. But let me say it again, because I think it's important for everybody within the sound of my voice to know and understand that an educated population doesn't vote for the modern-day incarnation of the Democrat Party. It just doesn't. Nobody with an education, a real education, with critical thinking skills, votes for the Democrat Party. Certainly, nobody votes for the likes of Beijing Biden if you have an education that's worth a damn. There is no way you can convince me that an educated population will say, hey, you know what, we got to put a whole bunch of people in who are in favor of putting our enemies ahead of us. There's no way that you could tell me that an educated population would say, hey, you know what, let's put in a whole bunch of people who want to enable criminals to harm people, who want to take away our rights and then give those rights to criminals who have lost their rights, right? You can't tell me an educated population would do this, and it won't, and it doesn't. And the reason why the Democrat Party, I believe, remains at all viable is because of the degradation of GovEd. Let me give an example of a couple of headlines that might illustrate this. As you all know, East Palestine, Ohio was chemically nuked by a train derailment. 3 weeks goes by and Mayor Pete Buttigieg shows up on the scene claiming, oh, well, now that I'm here, things are going to get done. But not like Trump, who showed up a day before me and it was just here for a photo op. And it's now if you're GovEd educated, you go, yeah. Yeah. If you're a critical thinker saying, well, wait a minute, the only reason you're there, Buttigieg, is because Donald Trump made you and your administration look silly by trying to get the nation's attention to a little community, by the way, of Trump voters, which was chemically nuked by a train derailment. And the train derailments keep on happening. And what has Buttigieg said? Well, first, he blamed Trump, and then the NTSB administrator, Biden's NTSB administrator, said, no, it wasn't Trump's fault. Biden's own NTSB administrator on CNN said it, completely contradicting Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete has been wandering around spreading the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG cultural Marxism agenda, has been out there spreading the critical race theory agenda, the Hate Whitey program. While this was all going on, Mayor Pete was in Washington talking about too many white guys on construction sites. That's his priority. He was busy unpacking his bicycle a couple of blocks away from the Department of Transportation and then pedaling in, making it look like he biked to work. It's all garbage. Here's another headline. Here's another head scratcher. See, common sense, well-educated societies don't tolerate this type of headline. As an Arizona rancher, his name is George Allen Kelly. He has had his murder charges downgraded. What was his crime? Illegal aliens busted into his property and he shot them for doing so. And now he's up on murder charges. And a lot of common sense people go, well, wait a minute. It's his property. He has the right to defend his property from narco terrorists or illegal aliens. He had no idea who the hell they were, but no. Some people just kind of blithely go about their day saying, oh, well, if the government says that thou shalt not stop illegal immigration, that's what the government says. It's insanity. A headline like that doesn't exist if you have an educated population. So how do we get this education going again to where parents are able to steer the dollars and make sure their kids get educated, not indoctrinated, as is the course being charted by GovEd? We talked to not one, but two lawmakers, one in the Texas House, one in the Texas Senate. How is this all going to look? We'll have some other issues we'll throw in there as well, coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Why get your news from people who don't share your values? Get news stories from Texas Scorecard. We provide real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
All right, my friends, in part three of GovEd, Righting a Great Wrong with Parental School Choice, I'm going to be talking to a couple of lawmakers here, mostly about education, about parental school choice. It's not going to be the exclusive part of our conversation, but I want you folks to buckle in. Those of you outside of Texas who live in states that have already joined the civilized world, who are no longer part of the knuckle-dragging coalition of anti-school choice states, just be a little entertained as we go through the same process that you went through, lo, those many years ago, to bring civilization to your states, and we try to do the same thing here in the great state of Texas. Let me welcome on two individuals I trust, and that's saying a lot inside of government these days. Representative Brian Harrison, first up. He represents the 10th District in the Texas State House. Prior to that, he was President Trump's chief of staff at HHS, and Senator Mays Middleton represents the 11th Senate District in the state capitol. He lives in Galveston with his family. Mays is president of Middleton Oil Company, an independent oil and gas company. Also runs ranching, cattle, and farming operations, so he is well-versed in many things. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey, Chris. Hey, thank you, Chris. Great with you, my friend.
All right, so before I get into education and your perspectives, because I'm going to ask you guys a series of questions, and I'll get you both to weigh in on the questions, I want to submit for your review a story you've probably likely already seen. In the Texas Scorecard, undercover journalists have exposed that after the Texas legislature passed a law prohibiting the teaching of critical race theory, the Hate Whitey program, that school districts, you'll not be shocked, are teaching it anyway. And they are bragging how they are able to thumb their nose at the rule of law because, in its infinite wisdom, the Texas legislature decided to put no enforcement mechanism inside of their laws. And the teachers and the administrators, these left-wingers, know it. So they are bragging and mocking all of you. And basically the accusation is being leveled that the Texas legislature passed this law knowing it wouldn't be adhered to placate knuckle-dragging conservatives. Representative Harrison, is that exactly what happened?
Yeah, no, I have seen these very disturbing reports, and the legislature, albeit before I got here, did make an effort to get rid of CRT in public education in Texas, and I commend them for that. Clearly, however, we still have a problem. We need to do more, and one of the things that I've learned since being elected is that while we got CRT out of the standards, they were never actually in the standards in the first place. When we use the word curriculum, a lot of people don't understand what that means. So while the legislature prohibited it in curriculum, what it didn't do and what we need to clean up this session is to make that CRT ban apply to all the instructional materials that go on in the classroom. So the papers that touch the books on the people's desk, we haven't actually done everything we can do to ban CRT. And it's worse than that. And I'd love to hear Senator Middleton's thoughts on this, since he was here when the law was passed. But we are being forced to fund this liberal indoctrination with our tax dollars. If you pay taxes to any ISD, just about any ISD in the state of Texas, you are being forced to fund a liberal, extremist, taxpayer-funded lobbying organization called TASB that is, with your tax dollars, my dollars, your dollars, our constituents' dollars, pushing DEI, pushing efforts to put boys and girls sports, teaching school district staff how to skirt state law, sending money to the National School Board Association to team up with Biden's FBI to target parents as terrorists. We are being forced to fund this own liberal indoctrination. That's got to stop.
Well, Senator, let me ask you about that and about that aspect of it. But also, I think a lot of things we've been talking about in regards to this is that politicians, regardless of party, do not like to punish government when government harms we the people. And the critical race theory law that was passed, there was no enforcement mechanism, and certainly there was no penalties for any of these individuals who were caught on tape bragging about violating Texas law. And that's when, you know, a lot of our people just go, come on, it was all a con to begin with. Fair?
Chris, well, I'll tell you what, we've got to make sure that we teach kids to love America. Look, education, that's what we need to do. It doesn't need to be about indoctrination. We got to protect kids from that and protect them from sexualization as well in our schools. And, you know, at the end of the day, we need to extend the ban on critical race theory to higher ed as well and make sure they're proper teeth in the law that we already passed last session. One of the best ways to do that is allow a parental audit. In other words, let the parents police this themselves and enforce it themselves. I think that's one of the best ways, because everything we're doing this session is really about the parent. You know, when we're talking about curriculum, we're talking about school choice, we're talking about all these things, mm-hmm. What we want to do is empower parents to have more tools and allow more decisions over their own child's education, whether that's in public school, private school, homeschool, you name it.
All right. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of what school choice will look like, just give me about 30 seconds apiece answer on this one. When laws are passed, there is punishment for those, you know, we normal folks out here on the streets. There's punishment when we violate the laws. However, there are no punishments in a lot of laws that are passed out of the legislature that punish government for breaching the law. And in my opinion, that government has a higher duty, a higher responsibility to comport with the law. So in my opinion, Representative, government should be doubly punished when it violates the law. Am I wrong?
No, Chris, you're exactly right. I mean, our founders set up a system both at our federal level and at the state level where we in the legislature are supposed to go past the laws, but we were not supposed to be immune from the laws. We were supposed to conduct our business and go home and live with our families under the laws we pass, and with the exact same penalties. And in the private sector, you're right. If you're a private entity and you break the law, you get the full force of government thrown at you. Or if you're a private business, and even if you're not breaking the law, if you fail, you go out of business. The perversity is that in government, the exact opposite is true. In far too many cases, we have government officials that live as if they are above the laws, if the laws don't apply to them. And then if a government agency were to fail, instead of going out of business like they would in the private sector, what happens in government? You get more staff, you get more authority, you get more power, and you get more money. It's completely backwards, and we've got to work to fix that.
Yeah, look at what's speaking of those who don't adhere to the law or have an acquaintance with the law. You can look at the federal government and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, or you can look at the Criminal Court of Appeals here in the state of Texas. But Senator Middleton, don't we have to change this dynamic that when government violates the public trust, it isn't just a slap on the wrist, that there are actually teeth to make sure that government once again fears the people?
Look, the proper role of government is to protect and defend our God-granted freedoms. And a lot of times this is forgotten, that government is a creation of the people. And that is why I think it's so important in some of these laws that we're passing to put civil penalties in there like we did in the Heartbeat Bill or election integrity. You know, I have civil penalties in the Save Women Sports Bill that I filed to make sure that the people that are enforcing it are the ones that created government themselves, which is us, the taxpayers, the citizens. The best way to enforce this is a citizen right of enforcement, because at the end of the day, government is a creation of the people.
That's
it,
right.
It all belongs to us, the taxpayers.
We, the people, and we should be empowered by government to be that police force. Representative Brian Harrison and Senator Mays Middleton, our guest right now. Guys, let's talk about what is gaining steam in the legislature, support on school choice. School choice does seem to have a lot of wind at its back at this point, parental school choice. What type of method is gaining the most esteem? Is it these ESAs, these educational savings accounts, or is it vouchers? Representative Harrison, you first.
Yeah, I think the preferred, there's a lot of proposals being filed, but as Mays or Senator Middleton mentioned a minute ago, the most important thing we've got to do in this process is empower the parents, put the parents in control of the education dollars. Just because we as a state have decided, or as a society, the government's role is to fund education, it does not at all follow that government has to be the provider, and certainly not the sole provider of that education. So the vehicle that I'm most interested in pursuing is an education savings account, which is different from a voucher. Vouchers were old models where money went directly from the state to the schools. I support ESAs, which actually is a state-created account where you take some percentage of the funds that would otherwise have gone to an ISD, give the parents control of that account, and then let them direct the education dollars in the way that best serves the needs of their particular students. Because never forget, I mean, where else do we want in our society a one-size-fits-all government monopoly to be the only provider of any good or service? Absolutely nowhere. And so especially, this would help most, I believe, the people that they're opposed to school choice say would hurt the most. I think it would help the most people who are disadvantaged, low-income, special needs, who maybe their school system isn't built for the particular problems that they're dealing with. We need to open up the whole educational universe to every parent in the state of Texas.
Senator, what about you?
I totally agree with Representative Harrison and Governor Abbott as well. He endorsed the Universal Education Savings Account Program. And really, all that is it puts all the tools on the table for our Texas parents. Because, you know, in Texas, parents matter. And, you know, they don't think of themselves as panhandle parents or rural parents or urban parents. They just think of themselves as parents, just like I am. I've got four kids, you know, and we need to trust them to decide which educational options work best for their own children's unique needs. And that needs to be very flexible because, look, every child is different. And we need to make sure that all options are on the table, whether that's, you know, traditional private school tuition, homeschool curriculum, hybrid homeschooling, tutoring, educational therapies, online classes, community college classes. We need to make sure that all options are available, because at the end of the day, this is a parental rights bill, and it's trusting our Texas parents to decide what's best for their child.
Barack Hussein Obama said that you can't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to, quote, F things up. And that is exactly what has happened with Joe Biden's ilk, the left wing. They have screwed up GovEd, and we had a call to the Chris Salcedo show on this earlier, asking, how do we protect those who are doing education correctly? How do we protect parochial schools, private schools, homeschoolers from allowing using this money as a pathway to infect those institutions? How do we set up a law, Representative Harrison, to stop the infection of government getting into things that have been successful on their own?
Yeah, I hear this concern a lot, Chris, and it's one that I'm incredibly sensitive and sympathetic to, primarily because I'm somebody who is suspicious of government getting more involved in just about any domain of human life. And so I understand the concern. People, and to sort of summarize the concern, they say, well, if government's getting more involved, they're funding this stuff, even if it's through the parents, then, hey, government strings and bad government regulations will follow, and it'll harm homeschool and private school. The reason I don't think that it's a concern that's applicable here is that the carrot and string argument is primarily a concern about federal government action. Our Constitution gives the federal government very limited power, so the way that the feds have gotten their tentacles in everything is to dangle the carrot of dollars, and then they come in behalf on the back end with terrible, tyrannical government regulations. Here in the state of Texas, though, if we were to set up a school choice program, a future legislature, if they wanted to do something bad in education, it would not matter that we had set up a school choice program in the present, because a current legislature could enact all those tyrannical policies today. We could outlaw homeschooling today. We could outlaw private schooling today. And in fact, I would argue that the most pro-private school, the most pro-homeschool position that you could have is to support a school choice program, because if we have another generation, Chris, where we don't educate those kids and instead subject them to Marxist-style liberal indoctrination for another 18 years, Chris, they are going to outlaw homeschool. They are going to outlaw private schools. So the homeschoolers and the private schoolers who are concerned about this, there's not a proposal that I'm aware of, and I don't want to speak for Senator Middleton, but I know he agrees. The last thing we're looking to do is put more regulations on those families, and I believe we can appropriately protect their freedoms to continue educating their kids the way they currently are, even after we enact a school choice program. And in fact, every state we've looked at that's done this, those fears have not been realized. The government did not come in on the back end and increase regulations on homeschools and on private schools.
And Senator, again, I'm just going to ask specifically, how do we, through legislative language, institute those protections to ensure that no future legislature, no left devious left-wing moron who wants to compromise homeschooling, destroy parochial schools, destroy private schooling, that they will be unable to do so using this taxpayer money as a mechanism to do so?
Right. That's a great question, Chris, here. One of the best ways to do that.
Automation is powering what's possible for businesses of every size in every industry. Unlock your potential at Automate, the largest showcase of robotics and automation in North America, May 22nd through the 25th in Detroit, Michigan. With over 600 exhibitors, 200 speakers, and more than 25,000 registrants, there's no better way to power your business. Register for free at automateshow.com. That's automateshow.com.
Is prohibit the use of federal funds in a school choice program, which the bill that I filed does. That's an important aspect. I know other bills that have been filed do the same, because that way the federal funds are not flowing into the program that come with the strings. But then also in the bill, you need conscious protections, not just of homeschool and private school families, but of the vendors as well. I have that in my legislation, protections of religious beliefs, creed, admission practices, all the things that academic freedom, curricular freedom, all of those things we can put in the bill. But look, at the end of the day, as we've seen, Democrat politicians are against school choice. So we have seen real-world examples. Not, unfortunately, we would be number 31 to implement a school choice program. So in the other states that have a school choice program that have gone Democrat, what has happened is they just defund the program. Like in Nevada, they didn't put strings on school choice that they had there. They just killed the program and took away the money. Arizona is trying to do the same. They have universal school choice right now. And the Democrat governor there is trying to defund the program, not put strings on it, but defund it. So we have these examples. And look, school choice is certainly not a necessary condition for bad government. Bad government can happen at any time. Go think back to when homeschooling was illegal in the state of Texas. So this is before the Leeper decision in 1991. And Jim Maddox, the Texas Attorney General, the Texas Education Agency, said that it was a crime to homeschool. And he sued homeschool families, and he said, we can't trust parents to decide what's best for their own child's education. Well, of course, we know in the 80s, Texas had no school choice. You know, so the guard against that is making sure we don't elect liberal Democrats and we keep Texas conservative. But we also, of course, need those protections in the bill just to make sure that that never happens. And,
right.
and there's no way that those strings can be attached to the really the academic freedom and curricular freedom of not just private schools, but homeschoolers as well.
And to be fair, there have been Republicans who have run for office in this last cycle who looked into the cameras and told parents, screw you, you're never getting school choice as far as I'm concerned. And there's, well, at least one Democrat I know who would allow, his name is Harold Dutton, who puts the education of minority students ahead of government programs, GovEd. Again, universally, I think if you're talking broadly here about this, Senator, you're right. The Democrats oppose school choice, want to empower government to lord over our lives, but there are a few exceptions, so I just wanted to make sure we got that in there. Gentlemen, last question I have on this, and I want to get to some other things, for Representative Brian Harrison and Senator Mays Middleton. The governor has said there will be standards to which institutions can partake in this taxpayer money that is set aside, presumably in these ESAs, these educational savings accounts. I think it is vitally important, and maybe you agree or disagree, that the standards that are drawn up in the state of Texas, that there is no political consideration, either conservative or left-wing socialist communist, none of that is present, and that there are simple, purely academic standards that these institutions must meet. And I'm talking about reading, writing, arithmetic, and the sciences, not CRT, not any of this woke LGBTQ, ABCD, EFG, cultural Marxism. None of that finds its way into this Texas test for these institutions. Representative Harrison, am I on the right track?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. I think those of us, the conservatives, who are really fighting to put parents in charge of their kids' education, the last thing we're looking to do is increase the regulatory burden on homeschoolers or private or parochial schools or micro schools or whatever the case may be. But we've got an existential and immediate crisis that has to be addressed, Chris. I mean, we have a situation in Texas. And then look, we are blessed to have good public schools. Not all public schools are full of liberal indoctrination, but it is starting to creep in, even in conservative rural areas like I represent. But you know what? I am blessed to live in an area where I can, and I do, although people are surprised to learn this, I send my children to the local public school in Ellis County, and I'm able to do that and hope and expect for them to have a good education. But, Chris, we've got to accept the reality right now that we have a system where across the state of Texas, all amongst all eighth graders, only 23% of eighth graders in the state of Texas are proficient in reading, and only 24% of eighth graders across the state of Texas are proficient in mathematics. If we don't acknowledge that we have this problem, and I know it's painful for some people to do that, but if we do not acknowledge that we have a problem, we're going to have a whole generation of Texans that are deprived of an education. When they're 18 years old, they're going to be handed a piece of paper called a diploma. They won't be able to read. They won't be able to provide for themselves. And then think about what that's going to do.
Yeah.
And the incentive or the push to grow government programs, because so many millions of Texans won't be able to have the marketable skills to provide for themselves and for their family. We can do this. We have to do it. And I believe we can do this with minimal additional government regulations on anybody here in the state of Texas.
Well, and Senator, GovEd, I think, it's beyond a question. At writ large, GovEd deserves an F for the way it's conducted itself. And contrary, calling parents terrorists and contrary to what parents want for their children. So on this level, this threshold that the governor is speaking of, isn't it vitally important that the Texas legislature and Texans, conservative Texans, formulate how these educational institutions qualify and that all left-wing nuttiness be expunged from those qualifications?
Well, I think we do need to make sure that we have those contract protections in here because, again, you know, this is about the parents choosing what's best for their own child, and so we don't need to be dictating through this program what parents get to do and don't get to do. So one of the most important things in this program is the true freedom to choose whichever educational options work best for their own child's unique needs. Now, of course, most parents are going to continue to choose their local public school because we have a lot of great ISDs with a lot of great public school teachers. But then it doesn't work for everybody, right? So that's really what this is it's a tool on the table where it's not working for whatever reason. Like I had a public school teacher reach out to me 2 days ago and say she's got two kids that are homeschooled. It's tough for her to afford that and her public school teacher salary, and she prays that this bill passes. You know, I had another mother from Gaines County, which is Seagraves, very rural county next to the New Mexico border, and she said she's always wanted to homeschool, but she can't afford it, and she prays that this bill passes so she's able to do that. So these are the stories that I hear, you know, from across Texas of all gamuts, rural, urban, everywhere. Parents that are hoping and praying that this bill passes, so they have these tools on the table for their child, because look, at the end of the day, you know, what limits are there on what a parent will go to do what's right for their child, right? There aren't any. We'll do anything to help our children. Right. That's really all this is. It's just another tool on the table. But you're right. We need to make sure that we're protecting the religious beliefs, the conscience protections, the creed, all the important things of our homeschool parents and private schools, as well as the vendors that participate in this program as well. And as long as it's serving some sort of academic purpose, right, so as long as it's an education-related vendor, then it should be part of this program, approved, like tutoring, for example. You know, I mean, one of the things we would like to see more of is, you know, people leaving the business world to go mentor and tutor, you know, our K-12 students out there. I mean, that's a great thing that I hope we see more of, you know. And then this totally unbundled way to fund our public schools for the rural families as well. They're in 4-H and FFA. You know, right now it's tough for them to meet their attendance hours there because they're showing animals. So it would give them tools. And then Catholic families, they would probably be the largest participants in this program because our private Catholic schools are some of our most affordable private schools in the state. And many would participate in this program in order to attend a private Catholic school.
Right. Affordable and academically advanced, basically handing GovEd its rear end academically, because other schools other than GovEd actually put a premium on education, reading, writing, arithmetic, the sciences, rather than CRT and the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG cultural Marxism emphasis that is now the focus of GovEd. Guys, I've got three other questions I got to ask you both, so if you can truncate your answers for me, because this shouldn't be that hard. Newsmax and Fox have been basically highlighting a disgrace in the Texas Capitol where a street was turned into a demolition derby, cops were injured, and people were seen running for their lives because in the Texas Capitol, Representative Harrison, they defunded the cops. One of the council members responsible for defunding the police sat on hold for nearly a half an hour just to get police alerted to what to the public being in danger. It's a disgrace. But again, right back to where we started our conversation, Republicans allow Democrats to get away with this in the state of Texas. What say you?
Yeah, it's appalling, the scenes that happened just a few blocks away from where I'm sitting right now. I mean, this is what happens, Chris, when you have governments, liberal Democrat governments like we have here in the city of Austin. They want government to regulate every aspect of our lives. They want government to control every sector of the economy, okay? But they don't want to do the very few things that are at the core of government that we should all agree on. This should not be partisan issues. This should not be wedge issues, like keeping our streets safe. Does that feel like a controversial thing to any of your listeners, that a legitimate role of local government is to keep our streets safe? It shouldn't be. But unfortunately, here in Austin, when, again, we have a local government that cannot get the electricity to work. I mean, you saw those outages a week or two ago. They couldn't handle keeping the power on because the government had so dorked that up down here at the local level. They're focusing on control of the electricity sector here poorly. They can't manage to fund the police and get our heroes on the streets to keep them safe. So I know the state legislature is going to be looking at more efforts to take on cities that go rogue and defund the police. this Texas legislative session.
Senator, it was a national embarrassment. Well, the Republican Party in Texas that dominates that legislature is being laughed at today because of what it allows to happen in the capital of the state of Texas.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you, this is a symptom of another problem, which is district and county attorneys have policies of not prosecuting certain crimes. So the Travis County attorney has a policy of not prosecuting criminal trespass. So that's why it's so important to pass a bill this session that holds rogue DAs accountable. And of course, I filed one that would remove rogue DAs and disbar them so they can never practice law again if they have policies of not prosecuting certain crimes.
Amen to that. Guys, the idea to combat Barack Hussein Obama's perversion of our energy grid by propping up not ready for primetime solar and wind. There's an idea out there that requires, hey, if you folks in Texas place your greed and your money over the lives of your fellow Texans, that's great. Go ahead and set aside your property for a solar and wind farm. But the state of Texas is going to require that you have, let's say you set up 10 megawatts on your property in solar and wind. We're going to require that you have reliable thermal generation on property to be able to flip on when the sun isn't shining and when the wind stops blowing. Representative Harrison, what do you think of that bill?
Yeah, I'm looking at that bill very closely right now because, Chris, it gets to something we have to address this legislative session. It's embarrassing that in a state as energy-rich as the great state of Texas, we ever have to have a discussion when it's hot or when it's cold about whether we can keep the lights on. But we've got a situation now, and the primary problem, as you mentioned, is the federal government and these production tax credits for wind primarily, but also the incentives for solar, where our energy market in Texas is roughly half reliable, dispatchable energy, and then fully a half is this unreliable, heavily taxpayer-subsidized renewables like wind and solar that are not there when we need it. And when we're adding 1,000 people a day to Texas, but we're adding no more reliable energy generation, we're only adding this unreliable renewables, that's not sustainable. The legislature, I think, unfortunately, outsourced its responsibility to set these basic reliability standards, Chris, like you just talked about, to unelected bureaucrats at the PUC, and I do not believe they have done an adequate job with the authority the legislature has given them. So I do think that this session, the legislature needs to take a hard look at whether we need to assert our authority and set our own minimum reliability standards. Say, if you are going to supply the grid, you have to have some documented evidence to prove that when we need you to be there, you will be there for it.
Amen. And Senator, what about that? This is a way to defeat. We can't do much about the taxpayer credits that are federally subsidized, I believe wrongly, but we can require that you can't put Texas lives at risk if you're going to partake and be money grubbing and go after all those Obama tax credits.
Exactly. We've got to have a grid that works. And the only way to make our grid work sustainably is thermal, natural gas, or coal, or hydrogen-based power generation. So we need more baseload power generation in the state of Texas. And our market has been distorted by billions and billions of dollars of Joe Biden Green New Deal federal subsidies for wind and solar, the kind of power that doesn't work. I mean, it's almost like the federal government wants us to go back to pagan days where people are praying to the gods of the wind and the sun that they'll get to have power because, you know, that's the only way these things work is, you know, when we have wind and sun. And we don't have that when we need it. As we've seen, you know, this past winter around Christmas with the storm, we were at, you know, 4 or 5%. Was the percentage of the generation from renewables, unfortunately. So we know we've got to have more reliable baseload thermal power generation, and that is one of our most important duties this session to get that done. But we can't have intermittency penalties, though. So there is a way to partially negate that. So if you're an intermittent power source like wind and solar, you know what, then we need to look at a way to perhaps turn that into a penalty where you're not generating when we need you at right. The hours of peak demand. So that's going to be an important issue this session.
And maybe we can take some of the fees if they incur that for these wind and solar. That we can get some of that Obama money and put it back where it belongs and investment into reliable, clean, and abundant natural gas, of which Texas has a surplus, and it's going to benefit all of us economically, including our poor. Guys, last question. As you all saw, the first inkling I saw of the communist China spy balloon, my first thoughts were, oh, suitcase nuke to generate an EMP or a bioweapon attack. An EMP, as you all know, as you both know, would destroy the United States of America, and with a loss of life that would be catastrophic. Will the Texas legislature finally, Representative Harrison, harden the Texas grid against an EMP attack?
Hey, Chris, I believe we have to. And as sad as it is to say, we've got a president that not only has shown no interest in securing our borders, he's got open animosity towards border security. It supposedly shouldn't surprise us. He's also not protecting our nation's airspace. And so I do believe the legislature has to act. I think that's the definition of failure is if we do not act this session on that. And I believe that actually one of Senator Middleton's colleagues, Senator Bob Hall, has been leading on the charge on this for many years. It's an issue he and I are working closely together on. And it was an issue even before the balloons thrust this national security threat into the headlines. But I actually think one silver lining of all of this is it has reminded the 30 million Texans that we're honored to serve here, how vulnerable we might be to a threat like that. And so one silver lining is I think Texans have had their eyes open, the ones that weren't already paying attention to this threat. And I'm looking forward to solving that problem here with my colleagues in the House and Senate this session.
Senator, will it get done this session?
Hey, Chris, this is a hugely important issue. And I think it also reemphasizes why it's also important for Texas to have its own grid. You know, we're not relying on the bad policies of other states. And Senator Hall has been a champion on this issue for many years, and I'm proud to support his legislation that would, of course, help address this. And I'm hopeful that we see that bill moving here soon.
All right, guys, we had a lot to cover, and I really appreciate the time you've carved out. Representative Brian Harrison, 10th District here in Texas, and Senator Mays Middleton, 11th Senate District. Guys, appreciate your effort. Keep us posted, and we'll get you back on soon.
Thanks, Chris. Always great to be with you.
Okay, so there you go. Part 3 of GovEd, Righting a Great Wrong with Parental School Choice, is in the books. Folks, check out the website, texasscorecard.com. A lot of other series happening there, investigative series, from those folks, including DIE, which we're going to get to toward the end of this week. Diversity, Inclusion, Equity. It spells DIE. And that's exactly what the left wing has in store for those who partake and undertake DIE. It will kill a civilization. It will kill civility. It will kill critical thinking. And there's no wonder they're trying to impose it. No wonder why they're trying to impose it inside of GovEd. They have a captive audience inside of GovEd. We have one more part of our series, part 4, coming up on the next Salcedo Storm podcast. Until then, look us up at chrissalcedo.com. Now, once you're there at chrissalcedo.com, you can drop me an email, drop me a voicemail, check out all the social media hookups we have for the Salcedo Storm podcast and the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it everywhere around the world. Also, check us out, the Chris Salcedo Show, on Newsmax TV, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern, until 5. So until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth, we don't measure that worth by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control, ever-encompassing government. No, we measure a society's worth by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. See ya.
Automation is powering what's possible for businesses of every size in every industry. Unlock your potential at Automate, the largest showcase of robotics and automation in North America, May 22nd through the 25th in Detroit, Michigan. With over 600 exhibitors, 200 speakers, and more than 25,000 registrants, there's no better way to power your business. Register for free at automateshow.com. That's automateshow.com.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Okay, so why do people love my Total Body Bar workouts? Because they work. My clients get an amazing workout and great results. I'm Andrea Rogers, professional dancer and trainer, and my Extend Bar classes are fun, only 30 minutes, and proven to help you get sculpted, lean, and strong. And right now, you can stream my Extend Bar classes for free on the Beachbody On Demand app. See how effective these workouts truly are. Start for free today at Beachbody.com.